So today I want to talk to you about a subject of law, the law of sowing and reaping. We think about this law of sowing and reaping, we think about planting seeds. This is not exactly the time to do that with snow out on the ground, right? But we do know that fertile ground and good seed will produce a good crop. Somebody say amen. Early one morning, a gentleman scuttled out to his garage and pulled out his lawn furniture out onto the driveway. And shortly after, I followed the lawnmower and a few gardening tools and a bicycle, which he laid out outside the garage where the cars were at and blocking the entrance or the exit from the garage. And a curious neighbor walked over and said, "Are you going to have a garage sale? Are you selling all this stuff?" And the homeowner said, "No, it's just my son. My son just bought his very first car, and right now he's getting ready for a really big date." And he says, "So what are you bringing all this stuff out for?" He says, "Well, after years of moving tricycles, toys, sports equipment out of the way, every time I came home from work to get into the garage, he's going to find out what it's like to get out of the garage." It's a law of sowing and reaping. I had a good friend I used to serve in leadership with back in Liberty, Missouri, Roy. And Roy was a good old boy. and he had a son and a daughter. And when his son grew up, got his own home, was married. And Kansas City summers are brutal. I mean, the heat and humidity are just brutal. And so he went over to, every time he go over to his son's house, he says, "Tim, this is what I do. I go over to my son's house." And he says, "And when we go in, Edith goes on in and sits down to visit. And I open the door and leave the door open. And I just stand in front of the door, letting the heat come in and the cold air go out." And he said, "My son's going, Dad, shut the door, shut the door." He said, "Well, how's it feel, son? You know, that's what you used to do to me when I had to pay the electric bill." So, I mean, a law of sowing and reaping. Sometimes we reap what we don't want to sow. And sometimes we plant seeds that really are going to bring back a bad crop. And we're going to talk about that sowing and reaping day, the seed time and harvest. David Cooper says this. He says, "When God created the universe, he established laws to govern it. And these laws govern everything from atoms to attitudes, radar to relationships, protons to people. A law is simply a rule or a principle which brings about a certain result when it's obeyed." That's really what a law is. It's a principle. It's the cause and effect, if you will. Laws are fixed, absolute and predictable, he says. Laws give our world order, design, and balance. Not only does the natural world operate by the laws of God, so does the spiritual world. There's spiritual laws that we need to follow, that if we follow them correctly, we'll be blessed. If we don't follow them, we won't be blessed. How many know that God is not against you, he's for you? How many know that God is for you and not against you? God doesn't try to keep these laws from us. In fact, he encourages us to teach them and to meditate on them so that we can be blessed, because God wants to bless you more than you're willing to be blessed. And you say, "Well, Pastor, I want to be blessed." Not as much as God wants to bless you. You know, anybody who's been a father, when, from the time I had my first daughter and realized the joy of parenthood, and even with its difficulties and challenges and financial challenges of raising children, five daughters, I have always desired what is best for my daughters, always desired to give them more than I can afford. I wanted to do more for them, even now as adults and for my grandchildren, than I could possibly afford to do, because it's in my heart, because I love them, and God loves us more than what I even love my daughters. And he wants to bless you. The difference between me being a father here and God being our father is God has no limitations in what he can bless us with. And God wants us to sow good seed so we can reap a harvest of his blessings. And so the natural world operates by its laws, so does the spiritual world. Such as the law of gravity is a natural law, okay? You jump off a 12-story building and there's no net down there to catch you and you're going to go splat. You're not going to be like the cartoons that we used to love, at least I did, where they run off chasing somebody and they run off a ledge and they just stand there and they're able to run back. That doesn't happen in real life. Don't try that. Somebody said, you know, that when they have boys are different than girls, because when you put a cape on a boy, he goes and jumps off the garage ledge, you know, thinking he can fly. I remember my little Zach used to stand outside. I got pictures of him out there standing out in front of his house when they lived in Baraboo with his cape on and his suit on as a superhero. And he's out there running around, and it's real windy, and he keeps asking his mom, "Mom, why won't it let me fly? Why can't I fly?" It's because you're governed by natural laws and Superman doesn't exist. Amen. And so, but we have a super God who does exist, and he has great power to do great things, and desires to do them among his people, to his people, for his people, and for the advancement of the kingdom of God on the earth in this day that we live in. God spoke from the Mount Sinai and gave the Ten Commandments to the people, which we all call the law of God. Ours is a nation that is governed by laws. At least it's supposed to be. Sometimes there's a lot of lawlessness that goes around, picking and choosing which laws to enforce and which ones not. But we are a nation of laws, which keeps us secure when we follow those laws. It provides safety and protection and also prosperity when the laws are obeyed and enforced. The entire Bible is referred to as the law of God. It's the law of God. It's the word of God. It is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart of the human heart. This is the word of God. One of the most important spiritual laws is the law of sowing and reaping. And we find this throughout the word of God, don't we? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, do not be misled. Don't be deceived, in other words. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always, say always, you will always harvest what you plant. And those who live only to satisfy their sinful nature will harvest decay and death from the sinful nature. But those, and don't you're glad there's a but, but those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Verse 9 goes on to say, so let us not get tired of doing what is good. Don't ever get tired of doing good, because God will bless you. You're sowing something that you're going to harvest later. I think about these last several weeks here at the church, and there's some people around here that have been just working their heads off because of events that have taken place. A funeral that comes out in the middle of a very busy weekend, and yet the people come out and they serve up meals, and they volunteer their time to come and help people. And that's an awesome thing, because that's the way a church ought to operate. Do not be weary in doing good, because God, who saved us, has called us to do good works. Amen? And we are the people of God, so he saves us, and we do it with joy, not with grumbling. Somebody say amen. Not with grumbling. You know what? You lose your reward. It's almost like you pour poison or weed killer on your plants when you grumble while you're doing a good work. You just lose your reward. It's not really worth doing. And that's why I have a policy here at Calvary that when I ask somebody to do something, it's the you have permission to say no principle. Is that you can just look at me and say, Pastor, I just don't want to do that. I don't feel like I want to do that. Or I don't have time to do that. And that's it. You have permission to say no. Because you know what? I've seen too many times in churches where people get cornered and they feel like they have to say, well, I'm only doing this because the pastor asked me to do it and I couldn't tell him no. It was like, yeah, you can. You can tell me no. I'll slap you, but no. But no, in reality, you can say no. It's just I don't have time, don't want to right now. Even if you just don't want to, it's okay. Because you know what? I don't want to see you lose your reward. Because I love you and I care about you. You're my people. I'm your shepherd. And I want you to be happy serving God. I want you to know that you're doing it for the right reason and you're delighted in doing it. And you're going to praise God for being able to serve. It's an honor to serve, isn't it? It really is. And so, you know, we see here, you know, don't get tired of doing what is good, the scriptures tell us. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So there's this thing of perseverance as well. Holding on, doing good, even when you're worn out and tired and you do it anyway. And you do it with the right spirit, the right attitude. God, at just the right time, just when you need it, God is going to provide for you. I got some of those stories that I could tell you, and I've shared before, but I have stories of how that principle has played out in my own life, how God has miraculously provided for me at just the right time. Because there were seeds that were sown with a good attitude and with a good heart and doing a good work. I remember back in North Dakota going to the post office the day after we didn't get paid because the church didn't take in enough money to pay my salary. And I thought, well, we have bills due. I don't know what we're going to do. We have a mortgage to pay. We have 5 kids and 4 of them are at home. And what are we going to do? And I thought, well, God, you're in charge. So I went down to the post office on Monday morning, opened up the post office box, and there's checks in the post office from people out of state who didn't know last week when they sent them that we weren't going to get paid on Monday, but there they are. God provides. See, at just the right time. I went home, went around, instead of going to the office, went home, and I went into the door, and my daughters were sitting around the table getting ready for homeschool, and I said, guess what? You know we didn't get paid. Yeah, Daddy, we know. We prayed this morning. Yeah, we prayed. And look what happened. What came in the mail? And show them, and their eyes got big as saucers. You know what happens? They grew up in the faith, seeing God's provision, and realize that this is the kind of God that we serve. This is the kind of God we serve. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We sow and we reap. We sow and we reap a harvest. And so at just the right time, God provides. Verse 10 says, therefore, because of all these, all this truth that I've been sharing with you, Paul says, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those of the family of faith, especially to the folks in the church, do good. But do good to everybody. And this is really what the Christian life is all about. It's about emulating and mirroring the image of who Christ is to the world, to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, to one another. And that's the law of sowing and reaping. We sow in goodness, we're going to reap a harvest of good things. Paul reiterated this important law of sowing and reaping to the Corinthians. And I love this scripture in the Corinthians. It's, we harvest what we plant. In other words, if we plant seed, we're going to harvest what we planted, right? And so remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. That's just common sense, right? You just throw out a few seeds and you wonder, why didn't I get a bigger crop? Well, the neighbor across the street who farms over there got a big crop. Well, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. And this is not only a physical law, but it's also a spiritual law. Because we need to be about doing good works and planting seed where there's seed. And it's not just about money. It's about money, time, and talent. It's really a stewardship issue. It's that God has called us to serve. He's called us to serve with our talents and our time. And he's called us to give in our resources and share those. And not just in our tithe. Our tithe is, and we'll talk a little bit about that later, is something that God actually expects us to give, that we owe that to God. You know, we pay our tithes, but we give our offerings. We give them freely out of what's left of the 90%. One of the basic laws of physics states that for every action, there is an equal or opposite reaction. It's cause and effect. We know all about that, right? You spit in the wind, you're going to get spit in your face. I know a lady who once said that years ago when I was younger, and she said, you know, she's talking about somebody who beat their wife, of somebody we worked with, and she said, my husband will never do that to me. And I said, well, why won't you? Because he knows that when he goes to sleep, he's going to get a skillet on his head. That's a law of cause and effect. If more men got the skillet, there'd be less domestic violence, I can tell you that. Basically, you get out of life what you put into it. You know, I know a story of a pastor who had a little church, a little small church, you know, poor church. And he's sitting there, and his son, he's preaching, and takes an offering. And his son watches his dad put in a $10 bill in front of her. He put a $10 bill in the offering, and it goes around. And then afterwards, the pastor's going to say and find out what his salary is, what his pay is going to be for that week, and there's only the $10 in there. And he's kind of griping in front of his family. He said, there's only the $10 that I put in there. And his son speaks up and says, well, Dad, if you'd put more in, you'd got more out. And it's like, well, yeah, that's true, but it's, you know. You kind of back that, but you get out of life what you put into it. Not just in giving, but in what you put out in life. If you want friends, you have to, the scriptures tell us, if you want a man who has friends shows himself friendly. You know, that's just a scriptural principle and law. If you want God to bless your finances, then follow the tithing principle. I didn't hear any amens on that. If you want to have a better marriage, then try treating your spouse with honor and respect and learn to serve. Boy, I should have really had the women shout me down on that. And if you want to get a promotion or a raise at work, be faithful, keep a good attitude, and work hard. And here's something, show up on time. In fact, don't show up on time, show up a little early. And don't cheat your employer out of what he's paying you to do while you're supposed to be working. Somebody say amen. If you want your children to honor you when you grow older, then honor them while they're younger. Treat them with honor. Even if you have to discipline, treat them with respect and honor. And these are laws of sowing and reaping. I could go on and on with different things that that we could see in the natural. How we sow, you know, we'll reap. But this is the law of sowing and reaping. And we have access, basically what I'm saying is we have access to the lever that will release the harvest of blessings on our life but we have to take ownership of the choices that we make in life, the seed that we are sowing, so to speak. In other words, if we give money, we'll receive blessings. That's a scriptural principle. If we invest money, we'll accumulate savings and dividends. If we borrow money, we'll incur debt and pay dividends and interest to the lender. The lender is always the servant to the borrower. If we venture nothing, then nothing will be gained. If we live honorably, then we'll receive honor. If we study hard, we'll achieve a good education and hopefully a better career, a better paying job. If we train for athletic competition, we'll win the prize, or we'll be in vying for the prize. If we show kindness, then we'll reap kindness. You know, this is what the Word of God teaches. These are principles from the Word of God. Margaret Thatcher, who's probably not the originator of this saying, I think she got it from Mahatma Gandhi, and maybe Mahatma Gandhi got it from somebody else, I don't know. I just know that Albert Einstein said the secret of creativity is learning to steal other people's material and take credit for it, you know. But he says this, watch your thoughts. She said, my father used to tell me this, watch your thoughts for they become your words. Watch your words for they become your actions. Watch your actions for they become your habits. Watch your habits for they become your character, who you are. And watch your character for it becomes your destiny. What we think, we become. So as a man or woman thinks in her heart, so is he or she. And so we need to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. But learn to plant good seeds in the soil of your mind, in what you're listening to, what you're hearing, what you're reading, and what you're the crowd that you're staying around with. Second point is, we harvest the same kind that we sow. Matthew 7, 16 and 17 says this, that you can identify them by their fruit. This is Jesus speaking. That is by the way that they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Kind of a silly question, isn't it? Rhetorical, really. Verse 17 said, Jesus said, a good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. That's pretty simple and straight to the point. But my experience that the Word of God always says what it means, it means what it says. It's pretty simple, pretty easy to understand. Even a wayfaring fool can understand that. A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. You get what you plant, in other words. When you plant corn, you don't get wheat. When you plant tomatoes, you don't get cucumbers. When you plant watermelons, you don't get squash. Anybody here get that? David Cooper is quoted as saying is that we cannot plant seeds of stinginess, self-indulgence, and greed and reap a harvest of financial blessing. We cannot plant seeds of poor decisions and reap a harvest of God's will and blessing in our lives. We reap the same kind that we sow. The same kind of seed will reap the harvest of the same kind. There are two types of harvest. Number one is sowing to the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, you know, Paul says that when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your old nature, the results are very clear. And he gives this list of horrible things that can show up in a person's life. And it's like, why are these things showing up in my life? Well, part of it is because you're a fallen creature. You need the new nature in operation, and you need the transforming power of the Word and the Spirit to transform your mind and your heart. And you can only do that if you're studying and reading the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to transform and change how you think. And therefore, when you start changing how you think because you have a renewed mind that has been transformed by the Word and the Spirit, then your words start to come out differently. Some words that you used to say that used to make faces blush no longer come out of your mouth because you've cleansed your heart and God has cleansed it with the Word and the Spirit. And you don't do the same things you used to do. Those who steal no longer steal because the Spirit tells them no more stealing. Those who lie, no more lying because the Spirit has written on the table of your heart and the new covenant, terms of the new covenant, don't lie. Tell the truth. Speak the truth to every man, the Word says. The Bible says that the devil was the author of lies. He's the first liar in the history of the world. And those who commit adultery or have premarital sex no longer do that because the Spirit tells us and confirms the Word of God that that's wrong, that God, you're violating God's laws, and God can't bless you. You'll reap a harvest that is bad, that is detrimental to you, that is poisonous to your soul and to your life if you do these things. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. Look at the list. Idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, and wild parties, and all the sins like these. Because this is not an exhaustive list, because the sins of the old nature, the sin nature, are in abundance. And today, the reason that we are in the condition that we are as a nation is because we have sown to the wind and we're weeping the whirlwind. Think about the scandals in Hollywood, the scandals in Washington, the sexual scandals, the sexual abuse scandals, and the sexual abuse accusations in Alabama that are against a man that everybody respected and honored as a man of God. Whether they're true or not, God knows. But we're reaping what we have sown as a nation. We have sown seeds of sensuality and promiscuousness and perversion, deep immorality. And now we're reaping what we've sown, and all of a sudden there's boundaries. And where we were before, the left-wing liberal secularists said there's no boundaries. Now all of a sudden, oh, you can't do that. Well, why not? Everything else is permissible. You said so. You see the madness of that? Do you see that? The insanity of that. You reap what you sow. And as a nation, we need to get back to living according to the Word of God. Were people perfect then? No, but at least there were standards of expectation of righteousness and behavior of our elected officials and people in power. God help us to move back, to have God. And how is that going to happen? It's going to be because seeds of intercession and repentance are going to be sown by the remnant of God's people. You're going to sow what you reap. We're going to see a revival in this nation because the people of God will begin to repent and call out their sins and renounce them as a nation and repent from their sins, and God will send a healing touch on our nation. And this is desperately needed in our day before judgment falls. Judgment will come unless the people of God pray and stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Sowing seeds of repentance and intercession will reap a harvest of God's presence and his renewal and his healing for our land. The Greek word that Paul uses here is sarx. I'm not a Greek student, but I have resources that I use. It means the sin nature or the nature of man devoid of the Spirit of God, the fallen man. In Freudian terms, and I'm not a psychiatrist, I had asked Nick even how to pronounce this, but there's id, ego, and superego from Sigmund Freud, although Nick informs me that he's not highly regarded any longer, and there's not a lot of Freudian thinking now in psychology. But his point is that these are the three parts of the psychic apparatus defined in Sigmund Freud's structural of model or of the psyche. It is the id part of that that seeks to avoid pain, relieve tension, and obtain pleasure. Biological, instinctive urges that seek expression regardless of social or divine boundaries. This is what the id will drive for. You know, we think about that and we think about this is where we are as a nation, is what drives people, So teachers having sexual relations with students. You read about it in the paper all the time. Mass shootings for no apparent reason. This is madness. It's pure evil, unadulterated evil. There's no explanation for it except it's just evil. It's hell itself. It's demonic forces manifesting their evil tendencies and their desires through human beings who are far from God and devoid of any kind of conscience. And we need desperately for God to change that. You know, a lot of people in the church, I've heard said many, many years ago, and I've heard it over again, is that people in the church sometimes who claim to be Christians go out and sow wild oats for 6 days a week and then come to church on Sunday and pray for crop failure. Good luck with that. And I don't believe in luck, by the way. Job 4:8 says this, "My experience," Job said, shows that those who plant trouble and cultivate evil will harvest the same, sowing and reaping. Proverbs 22, verse 8 says this, "Those who plant injustice will harvest disaster, and their reign of terror will come to an end." Hosea 8:7 says this, "They sow to the wind and they reap the whirlwind." That's where we are as a nation. We sow to two types of harvests, sowing and reaping. Sowing to the flesh will cause difficulties and evil to come into our way. That's what we'll harvest. But also there's sowing to the Spirit. And as the people of God have been redeemed by the blood, cleansed by the blood, our sins washed away, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the Spirit of God indwells us. And he writes the laws of God on the tables of our heart. He leads and guides us into all truth. He is the one who transforms our thinking. He's the one who transforms our words and our actions so that we can inherit a crop of eternal and abundant life. When we sow to the desires and the dictates of the Holy Spirit in our life, we will reap the fruit of the Spirit. Just after the fruit of the flesh in Galatians 5 is 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, Paul says, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. For those who don't know, long-suffering is like yes times 10, or maybe 7. It's a perfect number. or 10, or maybe 7 times 7, you know, 7, well, whatever it is. But God, listen, if you're the most impatient person, if you begin to obey the Spirit and you begin to walk in truth, God will transform your character so that you will be patient and kind to people, so that you'll become a listener instead of always a talker, so that you'll become patient and your anger will subside. You know, a lot of people's anger rises because they're impatient and they're frustrated because they don't get their way and they can't control situations. But God, by the power of the Spirit, will transform you so that you begin to bear and manifest the Spirit's qualities, the qualities of Christ, because you are being transformed and molded and shaped into the image of Christ and His character. And this is the will of God. The plan of God is your sanctification. That is the will of God. We fill our hearts and our minds with the teaching of the Word of God and with prayer. When we become like those that we hang around, in other words, we become like those that we hang around as well. So if you hang around the teaching of Scripture, you hang around study of the Word of God, if you're frequenting that and you're doing your devotions, and if you're hanging around people who love Jesus just as much as you do and who are trying to live for Christ, they're going to influence you and you're going to influence them, and you're both going to be rewarded with a blessing, a good harvest. Do you hang around fellow Christians who are trying to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord? Friends that will challenge you, not agree with everything you say and take your side even when you're wrong? And how many have been wrong and people just sit there and listen to you and they don't tell you? You know, a good friend, faithful are the wounds of a friend, the Word says. You know, because they're going to tell us the truth whether we want to hear it or not, because they love us and they care about us. And sometimes we need to be told that you're just wrong about that. And to show how we're wrong at that, so that we can understand that and thank them for the wound that they've inflicted upon us. That's hard to do, isn't it? Because it takes what? Humility, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control come when we're obeying the Spirit's laws. Third point, last point I'm going to make with you today is we will reap in proportion to what we sow. You know, the size of your crop depends on the seed that you sow. We kind of talked about it a little bit earlier. But Luke chapter 6:38, one of my favorite verses in the Scriptures, and it's talking about mercy, but the principle is true with everything. Jesus said, "Give and you will receive, or give and it shall be given. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and pouring into your lap. The amount that you give will determine the amount that you get back." This picture shows that when you give something, that is going to come back to you, not just what you gave, but it's going to come back in an abundance. It's going to come back to you packed down, pushed down as far as it can be, and it's going to be running over and then pouring into your lap. This is the Word of God. This is Jesus talking, not Pastor Tim. This is the kind of God that we serve, a God who is generous, a God who wants to bless you with an abundance. A large harvest comes from small seeds. That's true, isn't it? I look at the size of a little seed. You know, Jesus used the illustration of faith when he talked about it as small as the seed of a mustard seed, really the smallest seed of all, and you plant it in the ground and it grows up into a tree. How is that possible? It's just God. It's just a miracle. And sow a small seed. How do we do it? We sow a small seed in relationships. I'm just going to list a few things here. The golden rule says this. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6:31, to do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. In other words, treat others the way you want to be treated. Boy, if everybody followed that rule. I saw a TV commercial with that. Did anybody see that? It's talking about the golden rule. Really well done, reminding people that we need to treat people with kindness. Everybody wants to be treated with kindness, right? Do you want to be treated with kindness? Would you rather I went out there and just, you know, I could just take this out there and throw it at Nick and hit him? You know, that wouldn't be very kind, would it? Nick's saying he's not that good of a shot, so he's not worried, right? But we want to be treated. I don't want him throwing things at me. So why would I throw it at him? Because if I punch somebody, they're going to want to punch me back. Jesus had turned the other cheek, but, you know, you got to be really anointed. You know, somebody said, I heard a preacher once say, "You can come up and slap me all over when I'm anointed, and I'll just turn the other cheek, but you better watch and make sure I'm anointed." Because we can all get in the flesh, and we want to retaliate when somebody does something to us. Relationships. No, just notice the impact of a kind word or a compliment has on other people. Have you ever noticed that? And I don't recommend anybody. This is wrong. If you go out to manipulate people with words, and flatter them, or, you know, just kind of, you're insincere just to get a result out of them. And I've known people, I've known Christians like that. I had an elder in one church I pastored that was like that. That he was out there manipulating people all the time with how he did things and how he'd speak to them. And I knew his true character, and I thought, you're not being genuine at all. If he said anything nice to me, it was like, you know, I don't think you're sincere. And so we have to be sincere. We do it out of love because God's love is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And we treat others with kindness. Have you ever noticed that when you see a child, and if you know what I try to make a point of doing, I don't always have time, I'm rushing around here sometimes on Sunday or on Wednesday, but if I see a child or a teenager, I like to smile and say, hello, how are you doing? You know, and I'm rushing past trying to get ready for my assignments. You know, we had many, many years ago a child that was, you know, causing problems in Royal Rangers, being disobedient, and I can still remember that, you know, as the Rangers were sharing this, and I made a point of going up to him, he's a short little kid, and going up to him, and I got on my knees in the hallway of the old church. Nobody was around. I wasn't putting on a show. It was just us, and I got down on my knees, and I talked to him face to face, eyeball to eyeball. And I told him, I'm Pastor Tim, you know, and I, you know that Pastor loves you. Yeah, I know, Pastor. I said, I really care about you, and I know that you have a rough life at home, and I'm so sorry for that. But from now on, you'd make me so proud if in Rangers, when your commanders tell you to do something, that you obey and you have a good attitude and you treat others well. I said, could you do that for me? And he said, yeah, Pastor, I'll do it. And it wasn't too long, you know, and we were in a board meeting. One of the board members said, boy, there's been a change in him. I don't know what's happened. And I shared the story, and I still remember tears coming from some of the board members. I said, you know, he just needed somebody to get on his level and talk to him and show some kindness and look at the harvest that was reaped from that. Harvest that was reaped from that. You know, can I just tell you, treat your spouse with kindness. Sow some seeds of goodness. And you'll be surprised the reward that you get. Treat your spouse the way you want to be treated. And you'd be surprised how things might change in your marriage. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying here? It's the law of sowing and reaping. You plant some seeds of kindness and goodness and servanthood, and you're going to reap some things that you're going to be amazed at. And the word says, Jesus said, give and it shall be given, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, they'll dump into your lap an abundance. So their large harvest comes from small seeds in relationships. Just little things you do make a big difference. And also in giving. We're going to talk about giving just a little bit as I'm closing here today. And I'm going to even, while I'm finishing up, ask the worship team to come back because I'm almost done here. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He's done. Glory to God. I've been trying to be patient and let the fruit of the Spirit come. But I'll talk about giving as we close. And you notice, you know, and maybe you don't know if you're new here, but God has blessed Calvary with good resources, financial resources. God has really blessed us. And why are we blessed? Because people have been obeying the law of sowing and reaping. They pay their tithes and they give their offerings in abundance. This is one of the most generous churches that I have ever heard of or been a part of. And I mean that with all sincerity. Every evangelist and missionary that comes here, most of them come back and they call me and say, I couldn't believe the gift that your church gave. I'm just amazed at that. You know, our friends who came here for Mission Sunday for the banquet, he went home and unpacked, and he called me about three times on the phone, left messages because I was in and out of the office on visitation, and finally got a hold of me, and he was like, wow, Pastor. He talked slow. I was patient. I couldn't believe it. My daughters came over, and we were unpacking all that. I've been eating oatmeal with, pomegranates or something weird. You know, he said, I love that stuff. And we couldn't believe how much was there. You blessed us. We've never been treated like this anywhere we've been. We've never gotten that kind of accolades and approval and blessing. And the gifts you gave, we couldn't believe it. So we give God thanks. Given, it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You know, God's going to give into you. Shall people give to you? Given, it shall be given. But remember, 1 Corinthians 9:6, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You know, you want to be blessed? Give. I'm just saying, give. You know, I've shared stories about our own life before. It's not bragging. I'm not trying to be that way at all. I'm not trying to boast about ourselves and say we're so great, because we're not. We're challenged with temptation to hoard and to save just like you. But I can tell you that every time I feel that way, I think it's time to just get out of your comfort zone and just give sacrificially. Because I don't want to be bound by a spirit of greed, because that's what I'll reap. And we were building this building. You know, I made my pledge, which was huge for us. Made that pledge public, but I can tell you behind the scenes that we gave a whole lot more than that. After that pledge was paid, it was like God challenged us, you need to keep giving, you need to keep giving, you need to keep giving. And God has blessed us abundantly because of it. And I'm not saying that you give money, you're going to get money, you're going to get rich. I'm not that kind of preacher. If you don't know that, you haven't been here very long, you don't know me. But I'm saying that God has blessed us with a harvest of good things, a good life, a good marriage, kids that I'm proud of, son-in-laws that I delight in, that I honor, grandchildren that are a blessing to us in our older age. I'm not old yet, but don't say that. But we're very young as grandparents, by the way. So, but God has blessed us. And all of them honor my daughters, my son-in-laws do. They honor their husbands, my daughters do, and they honor us as their parents. It's a good life. Reap and sowing, sowing and reaping. So exercise, listen to me. You know, two principles about obedience. And I'm going to close with this, I promise. And we're going to open up the altars. And I'm going to go real fast on this. If you disregard God's word, you're going to have a lousy crop. Or you're going to have a crop of weeds. You're going to have a crop of thorns and thistles. You're going to have a crop that is no good for anything. Malachi 3 verses 8 and 9 says this, should people cheat God or should they rob God? You've cheated me, God says. But how, you ask? How have we cheated you, God? And God says, and they say, what do you mean? When we've never cheated you. And God replies back, you have cheated me of tithes and offerings due to me. Not just tithes, but offerings. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Now, the tithing principle is not just for the people of Israel, but the tithing principle predates the law. It goes all the way back to Genesis. With Abraham. And I don't have time to develop that, but it predates the law. It's not law. It's a principle. It's a promise from God. And number two is exercising faith in God's promises can yield a bumper crop of good things. Malachi 3:10, it goes on to finish what God is saying here. And God says this. This is God speaking. Bring all, say all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. And if you do so, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will, say I will, this is God speaking, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Closing story, and I've shared this before, but I love this story. There was a missionary, true story, of a missionary in Chile who told the pastor from an extremely poor village who was confronted by the Holy Spirit that he was not teaching the people, the poor people in his village, the truth, all of God's truth. He failed to teach them, the Holy Spirit told him, about tithing. And as he began to argue with God when he received that word from the Lord, he said, but these people are so poor. God, they're so poor, as if God didn't know that. They have nothing to give. Teach them anyway, the Spirit prompted. The Lord just pressed on his heart, you do that, you obey my word. Teach them the full truth. And so the pastor did. He taught the truth about tithing. He slowly took them through the scripture and explained God's plan of tithing. And the next Sunday, after the teaching was completed, the people arrived with their tithing, with their tithes of chickens, fruits, vegetables, eggs, leather goods, and all kinds of homemade articles. They didn't have cash, but they had tithe of what they did have. And so the pastor sold some of the goods and used some of the money for the work of the church that he got cash out of some of those goods. He gave some of it, of the gifts, to the destitute, to the really poor in the village to help them and to show benevolence to them and kindness to them in the name of Christ. And he kept some for his only livelihood because he needed to live too. Sunday after Sunday, this went on. The people gave. They continued to bring their tithes in each Sunday. There came a severe drought to the area where this church was located down in Chile. But miraculously, this is God. How many know he's a supernatural God? And he has the power to override the laws of nature because he created it all. During this tremendous drought, the miraculous crops of the church, miraculously, they flourished. They were green and they were lush, and their fields were just full of a heavy crop, a bumper crop. And with all those surrounding areas around the other areas of this whole area, their crops were withering and dying. Relative abundance replaced abject poverty in this area, in this church, for the people in this church. They began to sell their crops for cash instead of just, you know, trading them and bartering. And so now their tithes not only were things and vegetables and fruits, but they were money that was cash. And with that cash that came in, they were able to build a new building, a meeting place for the church that they didn't have before. And the congregation continued to grow. And the point is here in this whole story is the law of sowing and reaping works regardless of circumstance. Somebody say, it won't work over here. Oh yeah, it works everywhere. Because the supernatural laws of God will work everywhere in every circumstance. So conclusion today, as we open up the altars, I'm going to ask the elders to come and begin to pray, or you'll stand here ready to pray for you folks as you come. Just some questions up here in the conclusion. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you from the Word of God today? Because, you know, I don't stand up here just to hear myself talk, although some might think that. I would enjoy that, by the way, but but it's to share truth that'll transform. Because I care about you, and I want you to grow in your faith, and I want you to be blessed. Secondly, what kinds of seeds have you been planting? You don't like your harvest? What kind of seeds have you been planting? It's time for some personal introspection. What kind of fruit is in your life is being demonstrated to others? What do other people see in you? Do they see anger, frustration, fruits of the flesh, or do they see the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, and so on? What are you reaping in your relationships? What's your relationships like? You know, have you been planting bad seed or good seed? And what are you reaping in your finances? Have you been obeying the tithing principle? Are you giving tithes and offerings and helping the poor? These are questions that you and God need to reckon with. You need to reckon with God about those things. And I'm just asking you to do it because I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. You say, pastors just want money. No, I want you to be blessed. I want you to experience what I've experienced, what Nick has experienced, and Jill, and Pastor Mike, and Christy, and others, you know, who have applied these principles. We don't tell you to do something we don't do because the Word of God is always true, and it's always when we obey, it always comes back to bless us.